such as has been massive foreign interference. Who can deny? I tell you, massive is not the word for that there has not been a colossal interference in the internal affairs of Pakistan. Now, I tell you quite frankly that this on the 7th of January, when I said there will be elections in Pakistan, if on the 7th of January, if this government has not been strong, stable, and if this government has not had deep roots in the matter, the punch and blow that comes so forceful that I don't know what would have happened. Now, in this situation, first, the whole game begins with breaking of elections. All right, he said, we provide you with a method. If you think there have been rigging, the whole election has not been rigged, we have won the election. Everyone knows that we have won the election. But all right, if you say this is the issue over which people should go and fly on the railway path and trains should go over there, and people should take out their chest and say, shoot us. If this is the issue, who does that for any of the elections where from 47, I've given you the history progressively till 1937, but I have said there has not been rigging. If there has been, the remedy has been provided. But this is not the issue. They try to make it the issue, then they first try to make it, then they try to make Shariat the issue. Islam is the issue, Islam the issue, Islam is in danger, Islam is the issue. This is how they whip up the frenzy of the people. And the young elements of others, that Islam is in danger. Then we said, all right, separate it. This is the position. This is how we stand on terror. Then they turned around and said, we said Islam was the issue. Well, what about you? We said, this is not the issue. They were missing many Khan says, this is not the issue. Why did you go to the masses? Why did you rob the mosque? Why in every mosque did you preach that this is a jihad, this is a holy war for Shariat? Why did you say in the election campaign that this is a war for Shariat? How do you say that when that was your main issue? If you can get Shariat, you said all we want to get Shariat. Rafiq Bajwa, during the election, said that if the Prime Minister says that he is going to introduce Shariat, we will withdraw from the election campaign because all we want is Shariat. We don't want to win the election. We don't want to form the government. We want Sharia. These are official statements made during the election. Made by prominence, he was then the Secretary General of the PNA. He was not an ordinary person. The Secretary General of the PNA says, we are fighting for Sharia. We are fighting for Nizam-e-Mulk. But if that was a question, we said 6 months ago to introduce Sharia. The matter is over. But the matter is not over. The question is, rigging them, get confused with Shariat, made into a monstrous issue. But the main thing is the money that has been flowed. You know this is people. And so many of us know how organized it has been. These massive funds, they are speaking, they are talking. The way people are going to jail have been given money. The way people, and I told you, postmen have been bribed to go and then drop in the letter to say something, join the profession. Gas meter readers have been bribed to say good. Milkmen have been bribed. This labor union now, efforts are being made to contaminate the labor union. So what purpose? So what is now the whole issue? The whole issue now comes out. The cat is out the bag. If it is who belches the cat or the cat is out the bag, it has got nothing to do with rigging. It has got nothing to do with Shariat. All the money and all the if they want me out. That's all. That sounds very simple. But now all we want is the resignation of the Prime Minister. We are not talking about rigging. We are not talking about Sharia. Why me? Why I am not a usurper, they might say what they like. As a matter of fact, the irony is that I am the first person who has twice been elected by the people of Pakistan to be the Prime Minister of Pakistan. Directly elected. And nobody else was in Pakistan directly elected. Why? Was Ghulam Mahmud directly elected? Was Nazim Uddin directly elected? Was Sarawadi directly elected? Was Yasir Ali directly elected? None of the Prime Ministers of Pakistan were directly elected. And they want the resignation of the person who has twice been directly elected by the people of Pakistan. Under what law, under what system, the majority party in the house has chosen the leader of the house. And you know how efforts have been made to create mischief within the ranks of our party members. Our party members, they know fully well what efforts have been made on the members of the provincial assemblies and the members of the national assembly. When we were coming close to some sort of an arrangement, a trip was placed. To give the impression the parties that were all divided and into difference. So that there was such that to the process. Again, when things were picking up again, and moving towards something, again efforts have been made on part to infiltrate into the cabinet, into the government department, to infiltrate into ministers, to make ministers start thinking on certain lines, to indoctrinate ministers, to indoctrinate the members of the National Assembly. My person is not relevant. Why is my person relevant? Every foreign correspondent asks the question, but why don't you resign, Mr. Prime Minister? Why don't I resign? Have I asked them why Mr. Callaghan has not resigned? With having a majority of one man and with the support of the Liberal Party, he's holding the government, a vote of no confidence and saved by the Liberal Party, and gone back on devolution for Scotland and Wales, and having created martial law in Northern Ireland, why don't you ask Callaghan to resign? Huh? Why don't you ask Schmidt to resign? The question is that why the Congress of Parliament? I think that elephants have long memories. They know that I've given a place to Pakistan. I've given a place. They know that I'm the pillar of stability and the symbol of stability and strength of Pakistan. That's why they want to remove the pillar of stability and the symbol of strength of Pakistan. That's the point. That's the reason. Not just an individual. It's not Joseph Parali Bhutto as Joseph Parali Bhutto. That's Joseph Parali Bhutto for what he has stood for, his struggle, what he stands for, and what he has done for Pakistan. That is the important question. You know, Mr. Speaker, that when I proposed the Islamic Summit Conference, to get a there were certain elephants which did not like the Islamic Summit Conference to take place. And what were the strategies involved at that time? I proposed the conference for November. Suspended by 1 month. Alright? I suspended by 1 month. Then again, suspended by 1 month. Then I wrote another 15th test, the late 15th test. I told him that you know this work is suspended. And in total, he entirely agreed with my analysis. The person said, the conference will be held in February. We will not have any further postponement. And Lahore or Pakistan shall be the venue. If people cannot come, if people those Muslim states who stand firm, they are well protected. Those Muslim states, but behind the scenes, what operations are taking place? What efforts are being made? How hard to send certain ministers to certain countries? I cannot reveal the talks I had about the Islamic Summit Conference with Dr. Kissinger when he came to Pakistan in that very October of that year, and what were his views and how I answered it. I believe he's writing a book. Maybe he might mention it or maybe he might not mention it. What were his views on the Islamic Summit Conference? What does the Islamic Summit Conference show? It showed the solidarity of the Muslim world, linked behind the Arab world. The Islamic Summit Conference in Lahore was the first one to give recognition to the PLO. It was after that the Rabat Conference was held. It was after that the PLO went and Yasser Arafat addressed the United Nations General Assembly. But before that, it was in Lahore that the official and final recognition was given to PLO as the representative of the Palestinian people. Those conferences were approved. That conference party was approved to submit. Then, sir, apart from that, the question is, there was and there still is trouble between Turkey and Greece over a number of problems. We have very good relations with Turkey. Turkey, like Iran, they are our brothers. Prime Minister of Greece is very well known to me. A suggestion was made by one side. I won't mention the side. Can't Pakistan being very friendly with Turkey and the Prime Minister of Pakistan having very good friendship with the Prime Minister of Greece, can't Pakistan do something about it? Can't Pakistan play some role about the Greco-Turkish differences? This was resented by the elephant. Pakistan now, a few years ago, was dismantled, destroyed. Now Pakistan is being approached to do something in this question, which is such an important question, which comes under our domain. We are the arbiters of such issues and such problems. How does Pakistan get involved? How has Pakistan's position risen to this pitch, to this prominence, to this premier position that Pakistan is being approached in such a matter? That also shows the vitality, the vigor about the foreign policy, of our external approach, the strength of our nation, the strength of our country. Then, sir, apart from that, every issue was raised in this election campaign by the opposition. As I told you, I defined issues by saying there are issues and issues. But real issues were only two, crisis and Sharia. But otherwise, everything was said in this country. Everything. Literally, as I told you, abuses and gali, galoot, vulgarity, everything came into the melting pot. Nine opposition party leaders. They spoke about everything. They left out one. They spoke on everything, but they left out one vital matter, very vital. Why they spoke about everything and everything under the sun, except one very vital matter, nine of the four liners. why didn't you ask to burn the Pakistan? Why didn't you ask me, what is your position on this matter? Why didn't they tell me that we hear there is enormous international pressure on you on this matter? We hear that every effort has been made for you to break the agreement relating to this matter. What is your position, Mr. Gulfatarim? What is your position, Government of Pakistan? You tell us your position. Are you going to break this agreement? Are you going to postpone this agreement? Or are you going to implement this agreement? Why have I asked you? Every question under the sun I was asked. Every abuse, every slander was done. Why is this vital, this important question, which has attracted international importance, which has come in all the international papers, which is a hot subject of all international forums and all international matters and all, and here foreign policy was discussed, internal policy was discussed, laws were discussed, jurisprudence was discussed. Why this question was that put to me? But give us your position. Let us know how you stand on this matter. Are you going to break the agreement? Are you going to postpone the agreement? Or are you going to implement the agreement? Why is this question was that put to me by the 9 leaders? Because I tell you quite plainly that if I was in the opposition, this would be the very first question I would put to the government of Pakistan, knowing the pressure under which the government of Pakistan is on this matter. Knowing that the government of Pakistan is under tremendous pressure on this matter, I, in the national interest, if I think of the national, because I have not signed this agreement for my individual purpose, why are they after my blood? Why are the bloodhounds after the blood of this man? The bloodhounds are after the blood of this man, because this man has taken a position on this matter. He has taken a position which is a national position, which is an honorable position. This is the crux of the matter. The Third World Conference is also important. The fear again is giving the lead to the Third World Conference. Why again he wants to give this lead to the Third World Conference? He's becoming a menace. He's becoming a problem for us. He does not fit into our overall status. He takes independent initiative. Yes, also I said that the Democratic People's Republic of Syria approached Pakistan. What are the problems of the two Koreas? Why again Pakistan, like the Turkish Greek? On the one side, Turkish Greek problem. Pakistan is a Korean problem. President Simonson is approaching this man. What has this man to do with the two Koreas? What has this man to do with the Turkish Greek problem? Why is this man calling the Third World Summit Conference? Why does this man call this Islamic Summit Conference? And again, finally, on this journey. This journey. Now the point is, as I said, why this journey? The question is, I have given assurances again and again that I do not want to make that, I do not want. My government policy is not to have a nuclear bomb. I have said that my government policy is not to have a nuclear bomb. But at the same time, I have said that prevented from advancement in nuclear technology. How can you limit our advance in the field of nuclear technology? And this is the most vital field. If we want to make advances in nuclear technology for peaceful purposes and not for purposes of war, in that case, How can any country tell us that no, you cannot do that? Because these peaceful purposes can be turned into purposes for war. And we say that we are prepared to give every guarantee, every assurance, that we will not turn it for purposes of breaking the bond. But we cannot be stopped from using this process for our peaceful needs, for our needs of peace. And argument hinges on its note that we do not want Pakistan to have this capability. The capability that Pakistan might be able to turn this capability from purpose of peace into purpose of war. We do not want Pakistan to have this capability. I go again on record to say that my government's policy, as long as it lasts, because some of the foreign dispatches, they are writing as if it's only a matter of minutes and seconds before this government calls, well, I've surprised them before. And I'm capable of surprising them again. But that's not the point. Everything is in the hands of Allah. No government has lasted forever. But as long as my government lasts, the point is, I make it clear that I am not going to convert this capability for purposes of war. This assurance I've given solemnly. That's the point is, they say no. The question is, why you should have the capability? Now, this is not fair. But why I should have the capability? And then they say that there are various ways in which various formulas and various things you can do. Well, when Dr. Kissinger came here in August, he took in his talks with me, he took a very strong position. He took a very strong position on this matter. And you know, when he went to France, what happened? How there was an uproar in the French press. Then afterwards, they asked me to negotiate, to talk. I said, well, you are holding your election. How can I negotiate when you are holding your election? Then after their election, they asked me to negotiate. I said, I'm holding my election. Now the point is, they were all waiting to see. If the hubble bubble comes, then there's no need for negotiation, the matter is resolved. But if this government committed, dedicated, resolved to pay for all of us, then the matter stands as well. That is why the bloodhounds are after my blood. Now I told you that I would not have gone into these matters. I have been forced to go into these matters. I have been literally forced to go. But please, one is, today the people of Pakistan might not believe it. They might say, he's thinking, making a defense. But I am a student of history. History must know. And the people must know. The real position, the real drama, the real story. The real story must be known. I've been driven to it. I've kept quiet, I've kept silent, I've not uttered a word. Even yesterday, in the parliamentary party meeting, I said to them, I don't want to do it. I don't want to take the plan. But how long am I going to have not the real issue becoming the issue, and the real issue not being focused as the issue? That's not fair to my country. That's not fair to my people. That's not fair to this. What is the real issue? That must be noted. The real issue is not some regime that is supposed to have taken place and if it has, that can also be remedied. The real issue is not Sharia. Because that has been conceded. The real issue is what I have said is the real issue. But I've taken a very long time. You must give me credit for being so patient. For being so patient and for maintaining my silence. And also for not telling you before that this is not a basic conspiracy, this is an interaction. Why should there be this coordinated, synchronized, systematic attack from this side and from that side, from the international press, from their broadcast, the twist, the turn, the partisanship, all that has been done? What is the question? After, they know the caliber of the PMA also. Because they have subconsciously in their minds, they have come out with such observations. They know what are the options available to Pakistan. Do they want to see Pakistan going through that kind of a process? So what crime or sin has by the way? During the election campaign, I said, I have two or three things to do. Sir, I have a mission to fulfill. It's not that I want to usher the tradition, that I want to cling on to this office. That I must cling on to it, no matter how many people die, no matter. My first part of my mission has been fulfilled. To a great extent, I have liberated the peasants. To a great extent, I have liberated the laboring class. To a great extent, I have liberated the women of this country. To a great extent, I have broken the back of monopoly capital. One part of my mission is complete. But I have still my mission to complete. Otherwise, you think, with this onslaught and these barrages, these attacks, these storms, you think an ordinary man would have been able to resist it? He has said, either he has broken down, or he has said, to hell with it. I have not broken down. I have a conviction. I have a dream for Pakistan. And I said during the election, I have approached three things to do. Now you hear me. On those two or three things. If I'm permitted to do them, I know I can do them. I know that Allah has given me the capability. Internally then, for my country, I want to see an honorable and an equitable settlement with Afghanistan. This is my dream. Now, you can turn down and tell me that someone else can also fulfill it. Yes, it's possible. But when you engage a lawyer, you don't ask the lawyer how many books he's read. You ask the lawyer how many cases he has won. When you engage an architect, you don't ask him how many degrees he's got, but how many houses he has built. So when you talk to a politician, you see through what processes he has gone, what has been the experience. I have been dealing with the Afghanistan problem since actively as a minister, not as an agitator. It's very easy to deal with it as an agitator. As a minister, since 1958, I used to have a firm this government. I was a young boy of 30. Ayub Khan, you have a great military. He told me.